Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally, and the inspirational self-help book Awaken from Life. Now, here's Randy.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. You're probably all really stuffed and maybe even sluggish from your turkey dinner or whatever you ate yesterday, your Thanksgiving feast. But I want to wish you hope that you had a very happy Thanksgiving, however you spent it. We're back to normal here, even though it is Black Friday and everybody's out shopping, but if you're listening, you're not, and neither am I. I'm home, and I'm doing this show with you. When I say the words out-of-body experience, what feelings does it bring up in you? Does it make you curious? Does it bring up fear, anxiety, indifference? Are you excited to hear those words? Are you aware that you have out-of-body experiences every night? And if you are, you probably are wondering why you don't remember them. Well, I'm sure that you've heard accounts of near-death experiences where people leave their bodies, rise above them, travel to different dimensions, and then clearly remember the entire experience once they are reunited with their physical body. But what if I told you that you don't have to die in order to have these amazing experiences, that you could learn to travel interdimensionally at will? Would you want to be able to do that? I certainly would. My special guest today, Luis Minero, has over 30 years of personal experiences with paranormal phenomena and out-of-body experiences. He is with us today to talk about his book, Demystifying the Out-of-Body Experience, a practical manual for exploration and personal evolution, in which he shows how anyone can have an out-of-body experience. By reading this book, whether you are a beginner or an experienced seeker, you will learn how to master the skills of leaving the body using logic and reason. Luis teaches you over a dozen exit techniques for achieving that. Luis Minero has taught courses on OBEs, which is short for out-of-body experience, paranormal phenomena, and spiritual growth in cities worldwide. He shares his many adventures with OBEs starting at age 12. His first-hand experiences and teachings include topics such as life beyond physical death, how our past lives can affect our present life, non-physical dimensions and who lives there, and the role that developing our cosmo-consciousness can play in our future lives. Luis has served the International Academy of Consciousness in directorial positions at the Florida and California centers. He is currently the education director of IAC Global. So let me bring Luis on so we can have this amazing discussion, which is going to prove to be very fascinating, I'm sure. Good morning, Luis.
Morning, Randy. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for being on the show. So I read your book. I haven't finished it because there's so much information there that I haven't been able to get all the way through it. But it is a fascinating, fascinating book. So let me ask you, for my listeners, can you define what an out-of-body experience actually is?
Sure, of course. An out-of-body experience is an experience in which we are outside the body, just to name the obvious. But for most people, it tends to happen while they are sleeping, that this other aspect of themselves that many people call either the soul or the consciousness or the spirit, basically our essence, disconnects from our physical body, and we remain aware, lucid, alert, conscious, and then we can have an experience outside our body, and we can see things, we can learn things, we can experience a lot of different realities, and then come back to the physical body and remember them, meaning bring all that learning with us.
Wow, that's so intriguing. Now, you started having these at age 12. Can you share some of your adventures?
Yes, of course. Where to begin? Maybe I can start from the first one, I guess. When I was 12, the first one was involuntary, in essence, spontaneous. I didn't have a technique. I didn't know if everybody did it or if nobody did it. It just really, to a certain extent, it caught me by surprise. I was home, coming back from school, and I had at that time a little computer that had a programming language, sick. And my habit was to come home, work on the computer, play a little bit, really, because at age 12, these were more than anything kids thing. And I would play around for a little bit, and then, I would turn it off. And on this specific day, I got a little sleepy, and I took a nap, and maybe like around 20 minutes or half an hour after, I realized that I was staring at the blank screen of the monitor and with my hands on the keyboard, and I was still thinking about the program that I was trying to play with and design that day. That one was a little challenging for me. And then all of a sudden, maybe because it was an intellectual thing, it dawned on me that I had gone and taken, I had gone to sleep and, to take a nap. So I said, wait a second, didn't I go to my bed? And then the moment that I turned around to look at my bed, sort of like as I was wondering this, I realized that my physical body was still in the bed. And it sort of like surprised me a little bit. And this immediately carried the interiorization. I came back to the physical body. I woke up. And but for me, it was very clear. When I said, wait a second, I know that I was here, but I know that I was there. I know at the same time that I was here. So at the beginning, it was a little confusing at the same time. It wasn't until maybe 4 or 5 years later that the first book on out-of-body experiences from astral travel.
You're breaking up a little bit. Luis, you're breaking up a little bit. I don't know why, but okay.
I'm sorry.
You can continue. I just wanted you to know. I don't know why you are, but okay.
Sure. Just to finish here, that after that, I obviously started reading more books and different types of experiences. They started to get a bit much more regular, just because of techniques and other means of inducing them. And, by the time I found my phrase, CD, the Academy of Consciousness, then, of course, my experiences are already the best. It kept on going from there.
That's fantastic. My son, I became aware of astral projection. My son used to tell me that he used to raise above his body when he laid in bed. He didn't, he just thought it was really cool. He told me, I'm like, oh, you're you're projecting astrally. So, he thought that was pretty cool, but he used to spontaneously do it as well. How is our extra physical reality different from our physical reality?
No, the extra physical reality, which I guess it's a word for saying the non-physical reality, like beyond the physical, the things that is different is that it's not just but there are many. So there are, you know, where people call them dice. And these extra realities that are many, so be a little bit similar to the physical one. It's that you see structures, bills, people going about their business, so to speak. But others can start to be quite different. For example, in the non-realities, isn't the condition of night and day that we have here in the reality? Obviously, here we have it because we live in a planet that spins about its axis, and sometimes we are facing the sun, and at other moments we aren't. But outside the body, none of the realities mentions that we have seen or that even I have read that talking to other colleagues, they don't arrange themselves in these bodies that's been around a star. What ends up happening is that life is caught, you know, the entire time, sort of like a seven, say. And it already makes a very big difference, just to, you know, point out when I know that we usually don't think about our night or day, simply take it for granted and sleep at night and are up during the day. But in essence, it ends up affecting, you know, all of the days. So the same ends up happening outside the body. There's activity going on the entire time.
Wow. I'm going to ask you another question, but when you answer, can you speak up just a little bit more? Because it's at times it's a little bit hard to hear you. It may come through better on the show than it's coming through in my, you know, headpiece. But just try to speak up a little bit more, a little bit louder. So we all disconnect from our physical bodies at night. Why don't we remember it?
Right. We all do. One of the main reasons why we don't remember it, in essence, as we disconnect from the body, we have a tendency to stay floating above the body about maybe a few inches, you know, 6 inches, 4 inches. And this varies from person to person. Now, while we are disconnected and floating above the physical body as we sleep, we usually are not aware. We are unconscious. And then if we remember something in the morning, normally we remember the activity called brain, which is more than anything the dream. And it's a big experience in the sense of awareness and consciousness, you know, outside the body that we can remember in the morning. And this is where you learn on the body experiences, I guess, along recovering the night so that we can move further away from the physical body. And of course, once we come back into the physical, you know, now we can work on recalling the experience and doing other works, I guess, being able to use it.
Are you still there? Luis? I lost you. Are you still there? Okay. Luis has dropped. I guess he'll have to call back in. I guess that's why the connection wasn't so good. Somehow that call has dropped. Maybe when he calls back in, it'll be a better connection. So, yes, I mean, this book is really cool because it takes you from the very beginning and explains all. Oh, is that him? Okay, let me see if that's him again. Luis, is that you?
Yes, it's me. I apologize. I thought that the other connection was, you know, more stable, but let's go with this one.
Okay. All right. I appreciate that. Thank you, because the other one was, it was a little bit hard to hear you. Okay. So you say in your book that one of the reasons lucid projections are not as common as we would expect has to do with intention. What do you mean when you say that?
Oh, yes. What I was mentioning mainly is that awareness really in the middle of the night is not that not as common as we expect. And part of it is because when we think, Randy, about what is it that people want when they go to sleep, what is it that we want when we go to sleep, normally, you know, what we want is to rest, you know, to shut down, to shut off to a certain extent. And then that's pretty much what ends up happening. You know, sometimes for some of us, I joke even with the students that the perfect night is, you know, if we're able to see pitch black, if we go to sleep almost, you know, immediately, very quick, we only see pitch black and we wake up in the morning already refreshed and, you know, ready to go. So sort of like because of our education, because of our culture, we normally don't tend to value too much what happens in the middle of the night. And what we want, again, in essence, is to rest. So our intention is to rest. So if we could go, for example, to sleep thinking, tonight I am going to stay aware, conscious. I'm going to allow the machine, the physical body, to fall asleep. But I want to remain conscious, aware. That different intention, you know, would already make out-of-body experiences more likely. So it wouldn't necessarily work for everybody on the first night, but as we make that our intention, you know, again, OBEs would be more likely, and even lucid dreams as well.
What's the difference between dreams and lucid projections?
You know, in essence, the difference is that the dream is something that the brain is producing. So in the lucid projection or the out-of-body experience, you know, it's a reality that that we are observing that is independent from us. So, for example, probably many of the listeners, you know, who have had lucid dreams even, they realize that we can control the dream pretty much at will, especially when it's, you know, a lucid dream. So, you know, in whatever environment we happen to be in right now, if this was a dream, you know, we could decide, okay, let me at this moment start to think about being in Hawaii, for example. And then the environment that we're in just simply disappears and Hawaii appears and now we are in a beach and, you know, beautiful sunset, ABCD. Excellent. Now, when we are outside the body, what happens is that the reality is independent from our wishes, sort of like the physical reality. You know, if right now I'm staring at a wall that is white and I want for it to turn yellow, no matter how much I want, you know, it just simply doesn't turn yellow. So the reality is independent from me. And the same thing happens outside the body, and the same thing happens, of course, inside the body in our physical reality. So that is, you know, one of the biggest differences from the dreams. And obviously the other one is that both in the physical reality and in the out-of-body experiences, our level of awareness is greater. It's, you know, we are conscious. We are our memories work. Our decision making process works. And many times in our normal common dreams, you know, this is just something that doesn't happen. That many times that is spotty, we could say.
Where do we go when we astrally, you know, when we have these out-of-body experiences? Do we go around the physical world where we want to go? Do we go into other dimensions? Where exactly are we going?
You know, in essence, we can go to all of these places that you were saying. So it depends a little bit on the will, I guess, of the person who is doing it. So we can leave the body, and for example, outside the body, we can start thinking, or we can start considering exactly the same question that you just mentioned. Where would I go, or where do I want to go? And I mentioned this just to give the idea that we don't necessarily need to have decided beforehand, you know, where are we going to go. But in essence, we can, outside the body, start to consider this. And we can go, you know, sometimes usually people go visit a relative that is close by, or, you know, their mother that is in another city. So certainly they can travel within the physical reality. Or sometimes people decide that they want to go to places that are a little bit more popular. Like, I don't know, they want to go to London and see the, you know, the London Eye over there. And or certainly we can go to other realities, to other dimensions. And I would say probably at the beginning, something that ends up happening is that most people want to do that, not just to understand the other dimensions, but many also, they want to find probably the individuals that have already passed away with whom they had relationship before, meaning their parents, their relatives, their good friends that maybe have already passed away, which, you know, all of them happen to be in this non-physical realities, and we can re-encounter them.
So if we set our intentions on meeting relatives, then we're going to be in that dimension. But there's other dimensions, right? I mean, we can go into all kinds of realities that we are not in touch with in the physical world. Is that correct?
Exactly, exactly. There are many, many realities. You know, what we see and what people who have out-of-body experiences see is that there are, you know, hundreds, thousands of them. I wouldn't say all of them are as easy to arrive. Some are easier for us to arrive. It's sort of like we tend to affinitize to the ones that have our similar level of like energetic information. What I mean by that mm-hmm. is our similar level of development, of spirituality, of ethics, of the way in which we think to a certain extent. So there's a range of dimensions that it is easier for us to get to, and there are others that sometimes might be a little hard, actually. But even
now, when
then,
we're in these out-of-body experiences, are we relating to them with the same mind that we relate to our physical world? So like you
yes,
said, there's
exactly.
no day and night, but are we thinking in the same way that we would think here in the physical world?
Yes, yes, indeed. And this is an issue of the awareness. So the moment that we are in those non-physical realities, you are you. You know, I am myself, my same personality, my same humor, my same, sometimes I joke and I say my same bad jokes and good jokes, you know, at that moment. So we are us, in essence. And, you know, we digest things in the same fashion that we would hear. So if somebody, for example, here is very positive, then they're going to have the tendency to see the realities that they're seeing over there very positive. If they hear, they react a little more sarcastically, for example, then the same tendency they would carry over outside the body. So in essence, it's us, it's our essence.
Now, is that the same way that we would experience a near-death experience? Is the experience the same?
There are slight variations. You know, there are several elements that are the same, but usually what tends to happen during a near-death experience, first of all, is because it is, you know, the physical body has passed away. The person is sort of like in a very critical moment, and that already changes, you know, how could I say, our personality a little bit. We tend to behave maybe a little bit more seriously and a little bit more, you know, we're paying attention a little bit more to everything to a certain extent. But the other thing that also tends to be a little different is that when people are having a near-death experience, what it seems is that these individuals that are called the spirit guides or the masters, the illuminated beings, that, by the way, is a very big reason why people want to have out-of-body experiences, they usually try to take advantage of that, the moment that the person is, you know, during the near-death experience, to try to show them something about their physical life, to try to give them some type of a lesson, and then they try to put everything that they can into that experience while they are having the near-death experience. So normally they take them to other dimensions. They tend to be a lot more aware and conscious than what they are during the physical reality, so it becomes a very critical moment. Now, during the out-of-body experience, we certainly can have those experiences. It's just that because we can have much more, the lessons sometimes are spread out a little bit more. Because since outside the body we can have, you know, a dozen experiences or, you know, hundreds of experiences in essence. So many times we find ourselves outside the body in a much more relaxed condition, just being more us to a certain extent, in not so much of a critical moment or a critical period. So those elements sometimes make the experience in terms of, you know, how we think and our personality, make those two experiences a little bit different.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. I understand that. In the book, you talk about the three exercises that we can do to increase our ability to have these. Now, I'm going to ask you to describe these exercises, but also, can we do it without the exercises?
Sure, sure. People can do it without the exercises. And, you know, there are accounts of people having out-of-body experiences. Well, even the same as it happened to me, you know. spontaneously, voluntarily, and when it happens in that fashion, which I say it's quite a number, you know, we are usually surprised. We usually hadn't done any exercise. We usually didn't know anything about them. And normally, it ends up happening that we are scared or surprised, and this is what carries the return to the physical body. So those spontaneous involuntary experiences, they tend to be, they have the tendency to be short, maybe about 5 or 10 seconds or so.
Okay. So there's three exercises. One is the absorption of energies. What is the absorption of energies? How do we do that?
Right. We, in essence, we do it using our will. But what happens is that we have this energetic system that many cultures have already described. Many people call it the etheric body or the energy body. We just simply, maybe a little bit more academically, we call it the energosoma. And this energy body, just for the listeners to associate ideas a little bit more, you know, are basically the basis of acupuncture or of oriental medicine. So the Western doctor, they work a little bit more on the physical body, and the oriental doctors, they work a little bit more on the energetic system. And the energetic system is one of the functions of it is to vitalize the physical body. So there is a very big interplay between the physical body and the energetic body or the energetic system. So what we are doing when we are absorbing, basically, is we are recharging the energetic system, the energy body. And we can do it using our will. In essence, we can activate the energy system more or less the same way we activate our physical body. But for example, in order for us to open and close our hand at this moment, what we do in essence is we desire it, we wish it, we use our will. Of course, this works very well for all of us, and I'm sure everybody that is listening to us, because we have a lot of experience with our muscles. But when we were babies, or if we have seen babies recently, you know, we put an object on their hand and it falls a second time, and eventually they close their hands, and now they don't give it back sometimes because they still don't control well their muscles. So in the absorption, we're going to think, not imagine, but to think, to will energy to come into our body. And as we do this, usually the best way is to do it in waves. You know, I bring in one wave, and then I stop and relax. Then I bring in another wave, I stop and relax, almost as if we were breathing energy. It's in the sense that if it happens in inhalation, wait, inhalation, wait, inhalation, wait. And as we do that, usually people start to feel different sensations related to the coming in of the energy. So sometimes we feel, you know, a warmness, a coldness in certain areas of the body, a tingling sensation, or as if we were absorbing throughout our entire body, like a certain, it almost feels sometimes like a magnetism or like a soft electric current. So the sensations can vary a little bit, but as we do it more and more, we become naturally more proficient. And now we have learned to, you know, recharge our own energetic system on our own.
Now, how long would we do each exercise, or what position should we lay down, or doesn't it matter?
In essence, Randy, it doesn't matter. We can do it lying down. We can do it sitting. We can be standing. Actually, even, you know, in some of our courses, we have classes in which people learn to do it while they're walking. Especially when they're, you know, hiking in the middle of nature and everything. So the position, we can basically learn to do it in any position. Now, I would say we could do both the absorption and the other two that we're going to talk about, maybe for about 5-10 minutes, and that already will give our energy system a very good workout. 5-10 minutes each.
Okay. Okay, so the second exercise is the exteriorization of energies. And how do we do that?
Right. So it would be sort of like the opposite of the absorption. You know, in this case, we're going to do the exhalation of energies with the entire system. So it's almost as if we put our, you know, the energetic system has the energy centers that popularly have been known of the chakras. Right. I know that most ideologies, schools of thought. They usually deal with the seven main chakras. We normally have, or we have a lot more, hundreds, it seems thousands of them, where probably people have seen more is if they have ever been to an acupuncturist. They probably have seen this doll that they have, you know, on top of their desk with the energy points where they tend to put the needles. And all of those are already energy centers. Now, they usually deal with hundreds of them, actually.
Okay, right.
So in essence, when we are doing an exteriorization, what we are doing is we are putting all of those energy centers using our will, you know, to almost like to exhale energy outwards. So we exhale an entire wave, and it seems as if, or we feel it as if, our entire skin, our entire body was blowing energy outwards. And also the sensation can be, you know, as if a cooling substance is leaving our body, or a warmer wave is leaving our body, or a magnetic, or an electricity, or a tingling, et cetera, et cetera. So we also do it using our will, trying as much as we can, you know, to avoid simply visualization or imagination in these exercises.
Right. So I get acupuncture every week, so I'm really, really familiar with that and the sensations.
Yeah,
and about 30 minutes into my treatment, my body will get very cool. Heat will leave my body and get very cool. So is that a similar sensation to what you're explaining?
Yes, it could be. You know, I don't know specifically in your case if that cooling sensation is only energetically or is already the effect of, you know, the fact that the energies were worked on the physical body, sort of like if it's already the effect on the physical body, that the physical body is already relaxing a little bit more and we start to feel, you know, a little bit cooler. Usually when we are in a place without moving, like lying down, our metabolism tends to also slow down a little bit, and our temperature drops a little bit as well. So in that specific case, I wouldn't know if it's already the energetic sensation or already the effect on the physical body of the work of energies that you were receiving.
Okay. The third, so when we do that, again, around 5 minutes, 5-10 minutes as we practice this?
Indeed. Okay. I would do it about 5-10 minutes.
Okay, and if we do these things daily, then that will increase our ability. Okay, let's talk about the third one. The third one is closed circuit, or VELO, to reach the vibrational state. What is that about?
Right. Let me first explain for everybody. I guess that acronym VELO, the VELO, it basically stands for what it stands for is a little technical, but what it is we go to an undisturbed place, almost as if we were going to do a meditation. And again, in terms of the position, we can be sitting or lying down or even standing. And we're going to start running our energies inside our body from the head towards the feet. And we try to feel this wave of energies flowing through our body all the way down to our feet. And once they reach our feet, we send it back in the direction of the head. And then from the head to the feet, from the feet to the head, from the head to the feet. So we start doing this sort of like yo-yo motion, you know, as if our energies were the yo-yo, that they are going down into the feet, up into the head, and we keep on going like that, up and down. And that wave of energy flowing through our energy system up and down starts to activate also our energy system more. We're going to also start to feel like a buzzing, like a tingling, like an activation. Sometimes even some of our energy centers start pulsating a little bit more. So we feel almost as if we, you know, like the heartbeat that we normally feel in the physical body, we can feel it, for example, in our forehead or on the top of our head. So some of our main energy centers many times can start pulsating. Now, as we start to control that up and down motion a little bit better, and we start to increase the speed, we reach this vibratory condition that, correctly so, it has been called the vibrational state. So we feel inside of us as if, you know, first of all, a vibration, an energy system is vibrating, and sometimes it can be pretty pretty intense, you know, it's a very intense vibration. Our physical body is very relaxed, and we are very relaxed, and the sensation is very pleasant, actually, but very distinctive. We feel this this vibration happening throughout our entire body, sometimes almost like an internal earthquake, so to speak. And this exercise helps us for a lot of things, for health, for vitality, for resetting our emotional state, you know, for awareness, even outside the body. But also at the same time, if we are able to induce or to produce a strong enough vibrational state, in essence, this is also a technique for leaving the body. Our astral body, our psychosoma, basically jumps outside the body, and then we are now in an out-of-body experience. So not necessarily that we will reach a very strong vibrational state the first or the second time, but with practice, you know, we reach that. And for many individuals that I know, even many classical out-of-body experiencers, this was their technique for having out-of-body experiences.
Very interesting.
The vibrational state, the running the energies to arriving at that state.
Wow. Okay. We're about 35 minutes into the hour, and I know I've asked you a lot of questions, but is there something that you would like to talk about at this point?
You know, I think that something that I would add that many times is of, you know, of interest to people is sometimes we are talking about, sometimes I get caught up talking about all the specifics of the out-of-body experience and everything, and then sometimes people see me like, but why would I do it? You know, like, what are the advantages or the benefits? Sometimes, you know, different people, sometimes I hear a little bit the funny expression like, look, I have so many problems inside the body. Why would I go and look for problems outside the body? So some people sort of like phrase it in that in that fashion. But in essence, still, their question is valid, you know, in the sense of why would we do it? You know, what is the point of all of this? And, you know, sometimes for some of us, I would imagine, some listeners, this is obvious. But for others, maybe, again, the question is very valid. So there are many reasons, really, why people do it and practice it and want to have it more to a certain extent. One of them is the, you know, for example, the what I was already mentioning of trying to find relatives of ours that have already passed away. You know, it's interesting, Randy, giving classes in different parts of the world, you see how different cultures naturally sort of like have different objectives and think a little bit different. So sometimes some of the cultures that are maybe have a stronger sense of family or are more family-oriented, I see this, for example, sometimes with Hispanics, for them, this objective tends to be usually the more common one. Most of them, their main objective is they want to leave the body and they want to see relatives of theirs that have already passed away. So certainly, you know, valid. Now, for other people, some of the main objectives is, for example, losing the fear of death, which is a very common thing. I would say, unfortunately, still in our life, in our society. So many times, internally, intimately, we are not so sure whether or what's going to happen the moment that we pass away. And naturally, you know, it's a little bit the fear of the unknown. And if there is a phenomena, you know, that is safe, that we can go live and experience and observe what is it that actually happens and that can help us with the fear of death, is precisely the out-of-body experience. We can be outside. We realize that we exist independently of the physical body, that, again, our personality, as we were discussing, will continue, you know, living. So that is, I think, a big, big advantage, losing the fear of death. Now, besides that, also for many people, their main objective is encountering this evolved being for spiritual development practices. So we can encounter these guides and we can consult things about our lives. You know, I'm in this, you know, fork in the road and I don't know whether I choose A or B, and they can guide us, they can give us information so that then afterwards our decision is going to be a little bit more, maybe a little bit wiser or based on more data, on more input. Mm. So So certainly, this is, you know, the experiences with them, I many times say only these ones are already worth it, independent of everything else. But besides that, there is also another very big advantage, which is, aside many others, but just so as not to stay here, you know, 5 hours just talking about the benefits. Another one is, you know, when we leave the body, we can find information about what people popularly like to call our life task or our life purpose, you know, our objective in this life. And the reason for that is because what we observe is when we have out-of-body experiences, people normally, or we see that in several dimensions, people are planning their physical life, their upcoming physical life before being born. So they are planning basically their main projects, their main realizations, the things that they want to accomplish, the main lessons in the case of some individuals. So when we are outside the body, we can gather information that is going to help us to understand what was my initial intention for deciding to come to this physical life in the first place. You know, it's interesting that many people, many of us, you know, I'm sure many of the listeners at this moment, you know, we have gone through these moments in which we are thinking, what is it that I came here to do? I feel like there is something, but sometimes it's a little hard for us to put our finger on exactly what it is. And right. The out-of-body experience can certainly, you know, shed light on this and help on this. So that also is a very big benefit.
Well, actually, I mean, for me, all those reasons are reasons to learn how to do this. I think it's absolutely fascinating. Before we run out of time, and we are getting close to running out of time, I just want to say again that Luis Manero is the author of the book Demystifying the Out-of-Body Experience. And, Luis, how can my listeners get your book?
Yes, you know, I think that the easiest is going to the website learnobes.com. So learnobes.com. And there certainly they can order it. Naturally, the book, by the way, they can also order it through Amazon and Google Books and pretty much everywhere. But I direct them to this website because also if any of them is interested in taking classes that we give all over the world, that as well is a good resource, this website.
Okay, great. So it's learnobes.com, and actually up on the show page for this show, I actually have the link. So if you forget, if anybody's listening and they forget, you can look at the show page and it will be there. Well, I want to thank you so much, Luis, for being my guest today. I wish we had more time because we could probably talk about this for hours, I'm sure.
indeed. But, and thank you, Randy. Thank you for the opportunity, actually.
Oh, you are so welcome. And I wish you great success with your book and with all that you do. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. So our time is up for today, but all my shows are archived after broadcasting and can be listened to at your convenience on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, or through the show links on my website. You can find out everything you want to know about me, my counseling, the articles that I do, and all my shows by going to randygfine.com, RANDIGFINE.com. Thanks again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is Talk Radio show host, counselor, and author Randy Fine signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, randygfine.com. RANDIGFINE.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing.
Hard not to hesitate, but we can't wait to be the change. There's a better way.